and welcome. I'm Alec Hogg. You've read the headlines on biznews.com, watched the interviews on BizNews TV, and caught up on the BizNews briefing. So now let's talk about what the latest developments mean for your money. This is the Editor's Desk, exclusive analysis for BizNews Premium members, and today is Thursday, the 4th of December, 2025. Well, as mentioned earlier in the week, we launched something called BizNews Daybreak, and we're very proud of the way that it has been compiled and actually hit a spot very quickly, and indeed at the reaction from the community. So thank you for going on to our Daybreak. Daybreak, it does mean that when I wake up at 5-ish in the morning, I'm a proud member of the Robin Sharma 5 a.m. Club. Good book, by the way. It certainly changed my life. Quite a few things have changed my life, I guess, over the years, but this was a big one. And I now get to bed early, get lots of really good, deep sleep. When you, those who know about these things, give you the differentiation between the three types of sleep. The REM sleep, which is the rapid eye movement, in other words, your dreams. The deep sleep, which is the one that restores the body. And then the light sleep, which is in between. And if you have a look at your, if you have a wearable, which I do, because I guess that's where you have to start from, the wearable will tell you, my Garmin tells me every morning, how much I've slept for, how long I've slept for, how much is deep sleep, how much is REM, and how much is light. And it also gives you an overall score. And my deep sleep is pretty much always before like 1 o'clock in the morning. So if I was only getting to bed at 12 o'clock, I wouldn't be getting much deep sleep at all. Whereas now I get a lot because I get to bed at 9, 9:30, and of course up at 5 in the morning. Anyway, what I have been doing at 5 in the morning is going along, making a cup of tea, starting my journaling, easing into the day. Excepting this week, we started a new regime and we thought, well, you know, we're putting all this work into our new show on ENCA at 7:30 in the evening, and it's very much appointment viewing. So if you aren't there at 7:30, well, you miss it. And there's no real point in just republishing that because it's 13 minutes, but the research that goes into those 13 minutes is hours. So my thinking was, why don't we rather do it this way? We'll take the work that's done then, expand it into something more substantive, and then release it in the mornings where there is a great desire for information on what happened the night before. And I'm an early bird, yeah. Robin Sharma, thanks, man. 5 a.m., I'm up. I get to see what's going on in the markets. It doesn't take me long to get up to speed on it. We've got licenses from Bloomberg, so we can pull in what the Bloomberg guys had to say, and away you go. And that's really what happened. So we now have the Daybreak. If you wake up in the morning, I'm there to tell you, and it's usually published by Hoppers 5, I'm there to tell you what's happened while you were sleeping. And thereafter, there's quite a bit. We bring in the stuff that was on the briefing the night before and an update on the major business news of the day so that you are completely ready, as we say, to seize the day due to the Daybreak. And our community love it so far. So hope as a premium member you're finding it useful as well. But just to go into the reason why I've gone into such a kind of long background is, first of all, because you get the whole story being a premium member, and secondly, because this morning was unusual. As I woke up, there was a WhatsApp from Anthony Ginsberg, who is the South African who started Gins Global, and he's based in California, and he always keeps me up to date on what on the big things that are happening in America that affect us in South Africa. And there it was, a statement from Marco Rubio, which pretty much said South Africa's screwed up. It's not a major economy anymore. It does not to be deserve to be part of the G20. And actually, we aren't going to be inviting it. We're going to be inviting Poland. So what I did was go and have a look at how much relevance this is. Is he just making it up? Because Poland's obviously a very free enterprise operation. It came out of the Soviet Empire in 89, in pretty bad state, and had to then rebuild itself around about the same time that South Africa came out of the apartheid era, which was in far better state than the ex-Soviet operations were, that's for sure. Anyway, how's it done since then? Well, I got a bit of a shock, because the GDP of Poland is $925 billion. South Africa is about $380 billion. Whoops, hang on a minute. That means that they're 2.5 times the size of South Africa. GDP per capita for all the Poles, all the Polish people who live there, what do they earn on average per year? $45,000. South Africa, $16,000. Yo, so we're a long way back there. Unemployment. Well, we know we're kind of the world record there at 32% in a bad way. Poland's unemployment, 2.8%. Okay, maybe there's something else that we can compare on. What about the Human Development Index? South Africa doesn't rate that well anymore. We're at 110. Poland, they're 35th on that league. And then economy, they're growing at 3% and we're growing at 1%. So they're already ahead of us. They're going to go much further ahead as well. So I suppose that as much as it irritates us that South Africa is being taken away from one of the main tables, because after all, we're supposedly there to represent Africa, they brought in the a country which is probably, if you're talking about the G20, the 20 major nations in the world, well, it probably does have quite a lot, quite a strong argument for being there. And then I thought the other day, watching Magda Wierzykcza, a little clip that came from, she's Polish, or she comes from Poland anyway. She is South African. She came from Poland to South Africa when she was young. And she was a bit denigrating about the Poles. And I thought, okay, maybe that's the Poland that Magda came from, because Magda's parents lived under communism and they really did not like it. And she emigrated to the UK. Well, certainly she's been living in the UK for quite some time. Now she's coming back to South, or come back to South Africa. So she's seeing better things in South Africa. And I think this is really where I want to go with all of this. We have been through the mill. We've been through the fire in our country. And I'm looking and I'm getting a feeling more and more and more that we are starting to emerge. We are starting to do things in the right direction. Because it takes someone like Magda. She's smart and she's rich. So if she, and she's Polish, or she can speak Polish presumably, and she's got a Polish name anyway, why would Magda come back to South Africa when she's already gone through all the heartache of relocating to the UK? Why not just pop over to Poland, which is almost, more than twice the size of the South African economy, growing faster, lower unemployment, and a much more business-friendly environment, and an environment and a country that, well, at least the world superpower does like and doesn't like us. And no, she's come back here. She's come back to South Africa. Interesting. She's not dumb. So what it said to me was just keep looking for the green shoots. And then this morning I had a very interesting conversation. It's going to be in the director's cut tonight. The team are busy with it now, with Mary Vilakazi. Now, Mary Vilakazi's husband is the dean at Wits. Okay, so it's like a real power couple. Mary's been at First Rand for many years. She has run been very involved in the insurance interests. You recall that First Rand's association with Momentum and Outsurance and all of that. I've met her and engaged with her over many years, and she's really a class act, but what you'd expect from First Rand. It's an extraordinary organization. They have bred a entrepreneurial culture inside, and they really are able to pick and choose the best in the banking industry to come and join them. And what you also find there is real interesting is that you don't see the first round executives going off to work for competitors. You see that happening with the others. You see the Nedbank guys going to APSA and the APSA guys going to Standard Bank and the Standard Bank guys going to APSA and that kind of circulation. But the first round, you don't find first round people doing that. You do find first round people leaving the group and going on to running their own businesses and making sometimes spectacular successes like Michael Jordan. But there's something different from first round to everyone else. So Mary, as the CEO of first round and someone that I have known for a long time, she's that quality. Anyway, what she tells me is that the green shoots are coming through. I got to speak to her because I said, you've issued a trading update on Tuesday. We're not going to be able to talk to you again. It's going to be kind of blackout as far as the information is concerned from First Rand until March next year when the interim results come out. That's the 6 months, the end of December. Let's talk, please, can we? And we had a great catch-up this morning. As I say, it's in the director's cut. And I asked her about this Marco Rubio thing where he really, I mean, he said some hectic things there about South Africa. And remember, this is the second most powerful person in the United States, number two in the White House. If you've ever watched West Wing or any of those other programs, you'll know that it's the president and then it's the Secretary of State. So the Secretary of State is Marco Rubio, and the Secretary of State issues a very strong statement about South Africa. We want South Africa tossing them out of G20. We want Poland in because, well, first of all, they've got their act together. But South Africa dominated that statement, and Poland was kind of one paragraph. They're good guys. There were a number of paragraphs, what, four or five paragraphs, saying South Africa, really bad, really bad. They've screwed up. The Mandela's successors have, quote, I'm reading it now, replaced reconciliation with redistributionist policies that discouraged investment and drove South Africa's most talented citizens abroad. Look, I don't know if he's right about the most talented citizens being driven abroad. Well, there are many talented citizens, Elon Musk kind of waving the flag as the most obvious of those. They are abroad and they've done well, but I don't know if it is the policies that have done that as much as wanting to expand your horizons. I mean, we've got many South African rugby players playing in the UK or in European League, UK, France, etc. And they weren't driven there, I don't think, anyway, by sports policies. You've got a fantastic, your best coach in the world sitting in South Africa, and if you're good enough, it doesn't matter where you play in the world, you can play for the Springboks, as we've seen. Rassie pulls people from everywhere. So I'm not so sure that Marco Rubio is actually on point there. Sure, there are some people who've left because they feel they don't have a future here, but a lot of people that I know have gone offshore to try and see if they can actually play in the global markets, and that's good. The Aussies do it all the time. The Kiwis do it all the time, and now South Africans are joining that too. The trick, of course, is that they come home. Now, the Aussies and the Kiwis all go home eventually to raise their families. And you know what? Our people are starting to do that. Our countrymen are starting to do that. So it's like they've gone abroad. They've gone and got themselves skills. A lot of them, unfortunately, are staying. Those who go to Australia kind of stick around in Australia, New Zealand, Canada. But many who go to the US and particularly to Europe, go there, pick up the skills, come back home and invest that into the society. And that can only be a good thing. Anyway, asking Mary about what Marco Rubio had to say, and she said, you know, sometimes you've got to just look beyond the politics. You've got to look beyond the headlines. You've got to look beyond the narratives and see what's really happening. And what she knows, and remember, this is Africa's most valuable financial services group that she runs. she knows that the relationships between businesses like hers and American businesses and even technocrats in America. So it's take out the politicians, take out the Trump and the guys who get voted in and are going to be gone in what's it now, another 3 years' time. Take them out of the picture and look at the guys who really have the power, which is the bureaucrats, the guys who are going to be there in 3 years and much later. And how do they feel towards South Africa? And those relationships are solid. So my take from all of this, don't get despondent. Don't get despondent. Yes, ANC has been a shocker. We know the Madlanga Commission is exposing all of this stuff. There has been so much learning in the last 30 years, a lot of it ignorance. And I'm reminded of Plato, one of his favorite quoted sayings of Plato, which says, ignorance, the root and stem of every evil. Ignorance, the root and stem of every evil. And there are two types of ignorances. There's the double ignorance, when you don't know, but you think you know, and that's arrogance, stupid, what they used to call the ancient Greeks, spiritual stupidity. We call it the Dunning-Kruger effect. People who are genuinely so arrogant that they're not prepared to open their minds to the fact that this is a very complex world and there could be another way. And I think there has been a heck of a lot of that in the ANC. And Zuma and his cronies are like number one in that. But then there's the other ignorance. And that's what Plato says and asks us to look at. Asked his compatriots and those of us who read these stories coming through. And the other type of ignorance is when people are mistaken about what constitutes a good life. So it's the ignorance of doing something that you really just don't know any better, and you think that you're doing the right thing, but the consequence of that is not a solution, but actually evil. And that is, I think, to a large degree, a lot of what's been happening within the ANC as well. So it's almost like there were those people who had the arrogant ignorance, but now there's still quite a lot of the other kind of ignorance. And my suggestion to this is just show the examples of elsewhere. And then, because if you don't know any better, but you are prepared to open your mind and to learn about it and to see it, well, then you can accept it, can't you? The problem is the way America's going about it is it's punishing that, can we call it well-intended ignorance, which has created evil, and treating them all like arrogant is ignorance. And that's not. I really, in all my dealings with South African government, the vast majority of the guys are ignorant because they just haven't had exposure to the real world in many consequences, any cases. Anyway, it's my view, and I know I'm it's shaped by engagements with people like Mary Vilakazi, who I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation with today, and I left there feeling more hopeful about tomorrow. And I think once you've watched that director's cut, you will be too. But I'm going to leave it there for today. Please keep an eye on your premium newsletter for links to our freshest published content. Thanks for trusting us with your time. I'm Alec Hogg. Until tomorrow, cheerio.